Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is June 2nd, 2014, and I'm Jeff Gamet, and with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing? That's a really exciting theme song.
It's really exciting, and what makes it even more exciting for me is I know the guy that put that together.
That guy is a jerk.
You know, I heard he's a big, lovable, cuddly teddy bear. That's what I've heard. Speaking of big, lovable, cuddly teddy bears, we also have John Martellaro today. Hey, John.
Hi. Hey. I'm here.
And that's great. We have a lot to talk about in a very short period of time, because not very long ago today, Apple wrapped up their Worldwide Developer Conference keynote event, where they dumped a lot of stuff on us in a 2-hour window. A lot of stuff about OS X, a lot of stuff about iOS, and some interesting stuff for developers too. And so what I thought we could do is kind of run down the list of what we got excited about. And John, you put together a list that I know is eventually going to become an article. And when I say eventually, probably really, really soon now. So yep. Why don't we start there?
Well, I thought was most important today was a new language, a new computer language called Swift for developers that sits on equal footing with Objective-C and can be used in the same fashion and has the same runtime, but eliminates the errors, the typical errors that developers tend to make, and is a security-oriented language. I'm vaguely familiar with that. I've seen references to secure Linux in the past, and I think that this could be really, really cool down the road. A language designed from the ground up to enforce security. No more buffer overflows, no more, Trojan horses injected into the system. Combine that with the sandbox, and boy, you've got a really nice secure system and a language to enforce it.
Now, let me ask you the question that is on very few people's minds, but I think it's an important question. Does the world really need another programming language?
Yes. In this case, that's what got me so excited, is because computer languages were mostly designed before this era of mobility. And Objective-C is getting a little bit long of tooth. Java has had a lot of security issues. And for Apple to take the leadership to build a modern language that developers will be easy for iOS developers to embrace and has security built in is phenomenal. It's an amazing thing. It's a bolt from the blue. I think it's going to have major repercussions throughout the developer community.
Now, the part of that that really stood out for me was it kind of played out in my head like this. You have a bunch of Apple engineers sitting around and they're saying, okay, so we've got this problem with Objective-C. We've got this problem with Objective-C. Oh, we can do this. Oh, we can work around this. We can try and patch it. You know what? This would be a lot easier if we had our own language. Oh, screw it. Mm-hmm. Let's write a new language. Mm-hmm. And that just felt so very Apple to me, but also pretty ballsy because deciding that if you can't get what you need, you just start over and make your own language. There's not a lot of companies that I think right now would feel comfortable saying, let's just grab what everyone else is using and start over.
Well, when you have 800 million devices out there, it's time. You got the weight of all that hardware behind you to make it profitable and reasonable and compelling. In the early days, of course, Objective-C and Cocoa was the right way to go. It already existed on the Mac side. So I think Apple is well-founded in this initiative.
TikTok.
That's right.
TikTok for us.
Yes, TikTok for us. All right. So we also have several other topics or points that you were really liking, John. But before we do, hop back into more of those. Brian, there was one where you were really interested.
One of the things that I was surprised about Yosemite is we saw a flatter OS X, but we did not see a flat OS X. It is, you know, after iOS was squished flatter than a pancake, I think a lot of us were, I was certainly was expecting the next version of OS X to get a lot of that same treatment. And while Apple flattened some elements, it certainly did not offer or show us a completely flat interface, a completely flat experience. And it seems like they decided that the computer with its larger screen, there's a little bit more room for depth. There's a little bit more room for some 3D depth and like icons and such as that. And they kind of went with the appropriate amount of flatness for the two different paradigms. And I'm pleased to see that.
I agree. It looked beautiful. I think it's going to be real fun to use.
Yeah. And along with that, there was a feature that they showed that I think a lot of people just in the general Mac audience would be like, oh, whatever. But for me, as someone that's been heavily involved in graphic design for a long time, when they said, oh yeah, we have the new dark look as an option, I was like, oh my God, yes. Because when you're really focusing on coding tasks, or in my case, working on graphics, a lot of the bright elements that are all over the screen can actually be distracting. And in some cases can screw up how you're seeing colors. So having an option that's clearly targeted towards professional users, so you can change the interface in that way, that made me very happy.
You know, it occurs to me that's similar to the most recent version of Logic Pro, which has a very dark interface. I'm guessing that was they were dipping their toes into how they were going to do that.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. And this is something that we've seen from Adobe for a while now too. They have actually as a default in their applications, a dark interface look, but you can switch it back to the brighter grays if you want to. And that's there because it's less distracting and it reduces the likelihood that you're going to screw up colors.
Fair enough.
Now, I said, John, we'd get back to some of your points, but hey, my show, I'm changing my plan right now. And I want to tell you about one of the features that I got really excited about. And it's kind of an encompassing thing, and it's the new sharing. And by sharing, I mean the ability or the interaction between our iOS devices and our OS X devices. And a lot of that sharing that we will have now just on iOS devices. So meaning the way that information can jump back and forth between our various devices so that we can start on a task on one device and then just pick it up very fluidly and seamlessly on another device, like start an email on my Mac and then just finish it on my iPad. And I just loved that. And then the extensibility that's being added to iOS so that applications can now share information back and forth.
Sure. Features.
And that, features.
That to me was one of the most important things. I certainly hope we get it in Yosemite too. And I don't think that was clear, but sandboxing brings with it so many problems in reducing user functionality that it has personally driven me nuts. It's, you know, sacrificing usability for the sake of security. I think that what we have so far, especially in Mavericks, has gone too far, because you have apps that simply can't be offered on the App Store. People have to, you know, stop what they're doing in order to meet Apple's guidelines. But with extensions, you can make a feature and have that feature communicate with other apps, and that is a good thing. It's going to, I think, greatly reduce the amount of suck in sandboxing.
I like how you put that. Greatly reduce the amount of suck. And yeah, and that's, I think that's exactly what's going to happen. And I think our iOS devices are suddenly going to become dramatically more useful to us.
Well, hopefully our Macs too.
And our Macs too. I just love the idea that we're getting this more fluid exchange of data between all our devices. And as I say this, I wish it was a video show today so you could see the hula move that I'm doing with that. Yeah. Yeah, it's just very exciting, I think.
Do we have time for one more hot feature from John?
We do have time for one more hot feature from John.
making phone calls on your Mac if the iPhone is nearby. That was high on my list. I think that's incredibly cool.
You know, we used to have that.
You know, the funny thing is, I was about to say the very same thing.
I didn't mention it in the live coverage, but what was the name of this? Because I couldn't remember the name of Apple's sync technology. What was
we
that
had
called?
iSync.
iSync, yeah. With iSync, once upon a time, a phone, and it was the company, what's the company out of Germany? Nova Media?
Nova Media
was making all these wonderful, fantastic extensions that would allow our Macs to talk to cell phones before the iPhone came out. And for a while, you could use that to make phone calls from your Mac from within contacts and answer your phone calls at the same time. It was fantastic. And we lost that for years and years and years, and finally we're getting it back.
Yes, and it makes me very happy. I loved that they were showing that off. And I was quite surprised that we didn't hear anyone shout from the audience, "Thank you for bringing this back."
Yeah.
The big shout from the audience that I saw was AirDrop between Macs and phones.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising we haven't had
that. Huge applause. Yeah.
Up until now.
Yeah, and I don't think that deserved huge applause. I think that deserved a really finally. Yeah,
about darn time.
Yeah. because that should have been there from the beginning. But I'm really glad that it's going to be here now, because that addresses many third-party utilities that I'm currently using in different ways to get stuff back and forth. Yeah.
So where does HomeKit and HealthKit show up in your list, John?
Well, HomeKit was a ways down because it was an integration initiative. And it's cool, and I'm in favor of it. But there were a lot of other, you know, really great user features in Yosemite that were sort of higher on the list, like large attachments and email and markup and email and visible folders and iCloud Drive. And I thought those were really sexy. HomeKit is going to be nice, but it's kind of vague right now. We got to flesh it out a little more and see what happens in the future. See how strong these companies, hardware companies, jump on Apple's bandwagon. HealthKit was kind of down on the list because, as you said before, it's kind of a repository for health information, and it sort of lays the groundwork for iWatch, but it wasn't married to any hardware, and there was no hardware announced with it. So I think it's the prep portion that we've talked about, where developers can start, you know, getting their head around it. And using the APIs and so on, and then the hardware will come along later.
Yeah, but HealthKit is so the confirmation that iWatch is going to be all about health monitoring.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree completely. Right.
Yeah, but it was run over pretty fast, and it was pretty low-key, and it was just a way to slip things in there so the developers could get to work on it. And Apple decided not to make an iWatch hardware announcement, and so there wasn't that real zing that some people were waiting for. I was waiting for it, actually.
And I saw it as a lot of zing because...
A lot of zing.
Because it was, here, we're going to give you a taste of this, and you know what else is coming, and we're just going to tease you with it.
Yeah, the fact that it's being designed to allow users to not only control their health data, because that's important, right? You can control what health data is being put into HealthKit, and you can also share that information with doctors. I mean, this is going to be a big thing in terms of doctor-patient monitoring, and I think it's going to end up representing a disruptive leap. I'll say it that way, a disruptive leap in terms of healthcare.
I agree. But the way Craig kind of glossed over it, kind of didn't have the sex appeal for me that I thought it was going to have. But you're right; it is big, and there's more coming.
Boy, you're hard to please, sir.
I am.
Howdy.
yeah, fine, disruptive, major big deal, but yeah.
Whatevs. All right. We are pretty much out of time. So thank you for just kind of rolling with me as I decided we're doing something different from what I said we were doing.
Excellent.
Yeah, you guys rock. This is how I keep you on your toes. So Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, man.
Sure thing. And John, thank you for being here.
You bet. See you next time.
All right. See you next time.
Thank you.